Psalms 48, we're going to look at this blessed portion of God's holy word, and I trust this morning that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be lifted up. Lord Jesus Christ is going to be glorified. I've often thought, though, about the coming of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What kind of weather is it going to be? Now, of course, if it's a beautiful weather, you know, happen to be on the Lord's Day, somehow I've just thought maybe the Lord will come back on the Lord's Day. But you find the thousands and thousands of people, in fact, millions of people that have met together for some kind of a sporting event. And then I've thought, though, if the Lord comes in the bad weather, rain, snow, sleet, or along that line, it might sound foolish now, but at least that's what I've thought about before. I wonder how many people be looking for His coming. Well, all of God's people be looking for His coming, friend. Yes, all those be who love the Lord. They might not have the mind just centered on the Lord Jesus Christ that very moment. But I do believe that all of God's dear children are looking for the return of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ back to this earth. And I'm so thankful. Yes, I'm so thankful for all the types of weather that we have. God has a purpose for them. And the Bible says the Lord has His way in the whirlwind and in the storm. And the clouds are the dust of His feet. And so He has a purpose for all types of weather. Has a purpose for everything that happens in this life. And my prayer this morning is that the Lord Jesus might be lifted up. Oh, just to praise His wondrous blessed name. I tell you, this is a glorious privilege, sure enough, being able to meet together in the house of the Lord, and being able to glorify the wondrous name of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, we just ought to praise Him. We ought to glorify Him. And I just trust that you and I will do everything within our power today that we might bring honor to that blessed name of the Lord Jesus. Do everything within our power that we might glorify Him. You know, I tell you, I get ashamed of myself whenever I get sort of out of fellowship with God. Don't never be out of fellowship with God. Don't want to stay that way too long. But nevertheless, I tell you, it just makes me ashamed. Yes, I just can't help but just feel bad over it. In other words, to think that just not considering the Lord as I should, not reading, maybe not praying, maybe just not in God's will as I feel ought to be. But oh, just to praise His wondrous blessed name. And someday He's going to come back again. I look forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ back to this earth. Long sometime for His coming. We should be like that all the time. And just trust that together the Lord is going to be glorified this morning. A little congregation like ourselves. Yet I'm trusting that the Lord is going to be lifted up, trusting that the name of Christ is truly going to be magnified, and oh, that we might just leave the building together saying it was good to have been in the house of the Lord. In this 48th chapter of the book of Psalms, I want to read, begin with verse 1, read the entire chapter. It's not actually too many verses of Scripture, just 14 verses of Scripture. It'll only take a few moments to read these verses of Scripture. And then I trust that the presence of God will be with us in a mighty way. Oh, that my prayers might be answered, and that the name of Christ will be truly magnified, and we'll just rejoice together and just thank God that we have this privilege to meet together and just praise His name forever. The Bible lets us know in verse 1, we've sung it many, many times. I'm sure that all of you quote it from memory. But it says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. You have a great history of Jerusalem. And I can't dip, but just think about the time when it just seemed like absolutely that no enemy could take over Jerusalem. And you remember the words that the king sent even to David. In other words, he just told of David, just to paraphrase, he said, "Well, come on, just come on. Do you think you can take Jerusalem? You just come on, do your very best." But he let him know he'd be defeated. Well, great history there, and we find that David did take the city, though, especially using Joab there as the general, and there's so much connected with it, I won't even think about trying to go into it. But Jerusalem is the center of the earth. Yes, excuse me, the center of the earth. And that's why every nation on earth that wants to conquer the whole world has their eyes set there on Jerusalem. In other words, they feel that to have world dominance, that they're going to have this piece of land over there that's so precious to God. Yes, we find it so precious to God, and it's so precious to Israel, and it's so precious to God's people. Yes, we have some that's even been over there. Some of the assembly this morning had the opportunity to go way back there about 1942. I wasn't saved though. And I thought, who wants to go to Jerusalem? Why, I just thought that was silly. Word came down though, all the soldiers there, the 82nd Division, that wanted to go to Jerusalem, you had the privilege to do so. Had one or two other places, Egypt, and I'm sure there was others. And I had no interest at all in it. I didn't want to go to either place. And always have regretted it, though. But oh, we're so thankful for this blessed portion of God's holy word. It means so much to God's people. And we ought to rejoice, we ought to praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to it. We find in verse 3, it says, God is known in her palaces for refuge. For, lo, the kings were assembled. They passed by together. They saw it, so they marveled. They were troubled and hasted away. Fear took hold upon them there, and pain as of a woman in travail. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, the city of our God. God will establish it forever, Selah. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of the judgment. Walk about Zion and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwark. Consider her palaces, that you may tell it to the generation fallen. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Now there's many, many controversial things here in this blessed chapter of God's Word. I studied it, I believe, in just about every source that I thought would be beneficial to me. I'm not going to take the time, though, to go into some of the thoughts that we find there, because I say that they are very controversial, even among the Bible scholars, and even among those who wrote years ago, and even those who wrote in more modern days. But oh, we find it so precious and it's so wonderful just to sing these first two verses here. Just means so much to God's people. I tell you, we do rejoice in it and praise and seek to glorify the wondrous blessed name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to just go back a little though after reading the other verses of Scripture and after reading a few other chapters in the book of Psalms concerning the thought that we have as God being our guide. That's what I want you to think with me concerning this morning, is God being the guide of His people. And you'll find it also in great number of other places in God's Word, not only just the two places, Psalm 73 and in the 48th chapter of the book of Psalms, but you'll find it also listed in various other parts of God's Word. So blessed, so precious to God's people. Yes, we just want to rejoice and glorify His name. Won't you look down at verse 14 with me though at this moment? This is a special thought that I want to bring to your attention. And I trust that He, the Holy Spirit, will have His blessed way. And I mean that, friend. Yes, I mean that from the very depths of my heart. I pray that God will take over. I pray that Almighty God will have His way in our midst. I pray that God will give us power to preach His Word. And I pray that God will give you listening ears to hear the blessed Word of God. And my prayer is that you and I will get this message here, that God would have us to receive. I want you to look down at verse 14 with me. The Bible says, "For this God is our God forever and ever." How long? Forever and ever. He will be our God even unto death. How long? Even unto death. Noah goes beyond death, friend. Yes, He'll be our God even unto death. But it goes far beyond that. He will be our God forever and forever throughout eternity. And of course, there's no beginning, no ending of eternity. And that means we're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ forevermore. I trust to conclude the message with a special thought from the book of Revelation. If I don't get to it though, I just want to tell you now that it's concerning the blessed thought that God is going to be our God all through this pilgrim journey in which you and I trod, friend. Yes, He's going to be our God. He's going to be with us forever and forever. Last Lord's Day morning, and I want to go back for just a moment, we discovered in Psalm 73 that Asaph realized that he could never make it through this life apart from Almighty God. And if a great man such as Asaph was realized that great truth, then certainly you and I ought to realize it to be a great truth, ought to be finalized, ought to be fulfilled in our own lives as we live here upon this earth. And I just want to mention again, as a paraphrase, what this great man said. First of all, he said, "I am done with choosing my own way. I'm just done with trying to choose my own way." And secondly, he said, "I am through trying to run my own life." And friend, you can't do it. You're going to have the help of God as you live here on this earth. And then to paraphrase again, we find that Asaph places his feeble hand, yes, his feeble hand, into the great hand of Jehovah God, and says, "From now on, I'm going to trust You. I'm going to let You lead me." Oh, friends, when we come to that place, we find that God will lead us. We find that God will direct us. And I just want to mention again that without a heavenly God alone knows the sorrow and the heartache And all the things that you're going to face here in this life, you young people, I want to also remind you, you're going to face many trials. You're going through many temptations. You're going to face many sad things as you live here upon this earth. And friends, I tell you, you need the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You young people expressed it. Oh, if you just trust Him now and then put your faith and trust in Him always, every decision, try to make with God's knowledge and God's blessing upon it. And, friends, I tell you, you'll find that He'll take care of you in this life. Just the Lord will watch over you. You won't go through some of the great sadness, some of the great affliction, and some of the terrible things that so many young people are going through at this present time. I tell you, it's heartbreaking. Yes, it's heartbreaking. Every newspaper that you pick up, and I'm sure every means of the news media that you have, friends, you find the terrible, terrible things that's happening in the lives of the young people, taking their own lives, taking the lives of someone else, taking the lives of little children. Oh, friends, I tell you, you and I need the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful that many, many years ago, well, it just seems like yesterday, as far as that's concerned, but it has been a good number of years ago, humanly speaking, that I trusted through God-given faith, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And oh, I tell you, that's been the happiest days of my life. Yes, the happiest days I've ever spent in this universe is the days that I've lived since being born again of God's Holy Spirit, since trusting in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. When my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Oh, that's blessed indeed, friends, because that happened many times here in this life. That we have a friend. Yes, we have a friend. We have one that watch over us. We have one who cares for us. We have one who will take care of us. We have one that will guide us all the days we live here on this earth. First thought I want to bring to your attention this morning is why does man, now that's man made in the image of Almighty God, in need of a guide in this life and want to guide him unto death? Why, friends, does people need a guide? Why does someone have to depend upon someone else to lead them in this life? They're healthy, they're strong. And you look at the young man, look at the young woman, and they are healthy and strong, and God has blessed them in many, many ways. They think, well, why should I need a guide as I live here on this earth? I'm strong enough. I'm wise enough. I can take care of myself. Why does one need someone else to guide them in this life? Friends, you've already found out, you older people, of course, realize more than younger people do. But I tell you, young people, you're also going through the trial. You're going to face many things in this life that you'll never understand. The reason why we find that man needs a guide as he lives here in this life is because of many things about him that he might not understand until they're brought to reality in his own life. Oh, you take that crocodile egg, you could, if you were just looking at it closely, especially if you had some means of magnifying it somewhat, you'd find that something's taking place there. What's taking place in that egg? That alligator or that crocodile is just about ready to break out of that egg. And I'm told by those who've actually seen it, I'm just a little uncertain myself. Seems like I have, but seen it, but I'm just a little uncertain. But he's already prepared for battle. Yes, he bows up. He's already for battle. Oh, friends, I tell you, that's not so with feeble man. Let me just show you a few things about feeble man and the reason why that feeble man needs a God to guide him all the days of his life here on this earth. First of all, we find of all creatures that man is most helpless. Yes, you know that to be a fact, that of all creation, of all creatures, that man is most helpless. At birth, he must be fed, he must be clothed, he must be taken care of. There's no little newborn babe that would survive without help. Oh, friends, it's just impossible. They might be born strong. They might be born healthy as far as that's concerned. But, friends, they're so frail that little child has to be taken care of. It has to be fed, has to be clothed, and has to be well warmed and just whatever necessary in the life, even of a little child. And then we find there's another reason why the man needs a God when he's born here on this earth. And friends, that's because, yes, we find that that's because man is in rebellion against Almighty God. Yes, you don't have to teach a little kid rebellion. That little babe. Now, my wife showed me some things years and years ago. You know, that's the little child. There's this crying its heart out, looks like, and seems like maybe there's a pin sticking in it, and just looks like that little child is suffering so, and I'll never forget my wife told me, you know, it didn't take too long for her to teach me. She said, not a thing on earth wrong with a baby. And I said, it's bound to be something bad wrong. And then she just picked it up. Oh, I tell you, the sweetest little child you ever saw in your life, as long as that mother picked it up, and she didn't know. She knew what we know, some kind of effectual call. She knew when that little child was suffering or not. And I tell you, friends, when that little child was suffering, it got immediate attention, because my wife knew that there was something wrong with it. But man's in rebellion against God. He's always been in rebellion against God, and always will be in rebellion against God. And then there's a fourth thought about man that I'd like to bring to your attention, and that is that he would never choose God within his own choosing. No man has never choose God. He's totally depraved. He's been like that ever since he's been born into this world. And we find it goes back there to the Garden of Eden. It goes back there when our first parents sinned against Almighty God. And friends, ever since that time, every child that's been born into this world has been born totally depraved. Yes, I tell you, friends, he needs a guide. He needs someone to help him in this life. And then the fifth thought is that he loves darkness rather than light. That's true, friend. Man just automatically loves darkness rather than light. That's what's wrong with rebellious man. That's what's wrong with sinful man. He doesn't care about the things of God. He's not concerned about the Bible. He's not concerned about the blood of Jesus Christ. He's not concerned about the crucifixion of God's Son. No, I tell you, friend, we find that he loves darkness rather than light. And then there's the sixth thought I'd like to bring the attention, and that is he has no concern of salvation within himself. Never lived a soul on God's earth that sought God without God first seeking him, without the powers of God's Holy Spirit moving upon his soul. Now I tell you, friends, this old world won't agree with you on that. This old world will fall out with you. You know that here in this church, just the least little thing, that's all it takes, just some little something, friends, and they're gone. Yes, they're gone. Everything's not just exactly like they think it ought to be. And you say something about depraved man. Oh, I tell you, friend, you're going to get in trouble. You tell people about God's sovereignty, you're going to get in trouble. You tell people that man can't be saved apart from the convicting powers of God's Holy Spirit, you're going to be in trouble. Sure enough, friend, yes, this old world always has been an enemy to God's grace and always will be as long as the earth will stand. Then the seventh thought is, he has no desire of the holy things of God. And friends, he doesn't. He has no concern for the holy things of God. You can talk to that lost sinner. You can talk to that person that is without God. All you please, friends, unless God moves. Yes, you can preach to them 1,000 times, even in the assembly. But unless God moves upon the soul of a poor sinner, there's never been a single one that turned to Almighty God within their own self. No, friends, I tell you, we need the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we find, eighthly, he has no desire to seek God and heaven. Has no desire to seek God in heaven. Friends, I tell you, people love their sin. Now, don't you think for one moment that there's not pleasure in sin, because there is pleasure in sin. I know it's just for a moment. I know it's for just a short duration. But, friends, that's the reason why this old world is blinded to the things of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's why they're blinded to God's holy word. They're not seeking God. They're not concerned about heaven. They're not concerned about going to that celestial city someday after this life is over. No, friends, without God. And that gives God, of course, all the praise. Give God all the glory. But without God, there's not a soul that ever lived in all the ages that has ever sought to be saved and redeemed through the blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And friends, all of us realize ourselves, without the powers of God's Holy Spirit, there's not a single soul in this assembly this morning that would rejoice in the crucifixion and the shedding of the blood and the awful death of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Friends, God put that love within your heart. You don't have a natural love. You might have a natural pity somewhat, but friends, it takes the power of God's Holy Spirit dealing with that poor sinner, opening up his blinded eyes, letting him see that he's lost and undone. Letting him see that he needs a Savior. Yes, he needs the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But someone might say, preacher, yes, I wish I'd preach now to a great congregation of people unsaved. I'd rather be here now than any place on earth. Here's where God wants me to be. Here's where I'm happy this morning, here in the assembly of the Hillcrest Baptist Church. But there's just a natural desire in your heart this morning, and you want to preach the gospel to unsaved people. Yes, you'd like to be able to preach to a great multitude of people. You'd like to see some other people saved. You'd like to see some other people born again of God's Holy Spirit. But let's just say that person here this morning, and they say, preacher, do you have any scripture proof for what you've been preaching this morning so far? Do you have any scripture proof that man is totally depraved? Do you have any scripture proof that the sovereignty of God is plainly revealed in the salvation of sinners? Yes, friend, I have proof. I could go to a great number of verses of scripture in God's Word, but I'm going back to the first book of the Bible, and I'm going to end up with the last book of the Bible. And I tell you, friends, you'll find all down through the ages, through every book that is described in God's Word, of how depraved that man is, how rebellious that man is, how sinful that man is, apart from God's Holy Spirit. Oh, friends, I tell you, let's just look at this verse of Scripture, going back to the book of Genesis. the 6th chapter, verses 5 and 6. I want you to notice carefully now this blessed truth we find given unto us here in the precious Word of God. The Bible says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth." I didn't think God saw my sin. I thought my sin was hid from God. I thought I had some secret sins that no one knew of. Oh, friends, that's what most people think. They think that at least they have some secret sins that is hidden from man. They might be somewhat hidden somewhat. But oh, friends, I tell you, God knows every sin. He knows the open sins you commit. He knows the wicked sins you commit. He knows that all sins, friends, I tell you, He's an all-seeing God. And He knows every sin. Isn't that what God's Word tells us here? "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Now listen carefully. "And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." Oh, friend, that's a strange verse of Scripture, isn't it? Isn't that an unusual thought there that we find given unto us in the blessed Word of Almighty God? But yet the same person would turn around also and say, "Preacher, now that was before the flood." Yes, I've heard a little something about that. Of course, they don't really truly believe it. You can't without the powers of God's Holy Spirit enabling you to do so. But some would say, "Preacher, that sin is true, all right, but that was before the flood. That was before God destroyed the old world, the antediluvian world, through the water and through the flood that is described unto him here also in the book of Genesis." Well, friends, we of course know that they're wrong even in that. That is, their thought concerning sin being in a certain age, not being in another age. But, oh, friend, now I want to go a long way from the book of Genesis. Let's go to about 1,000 years before the birth even of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's go to the days of David and Solomon. Was there sin on this universe? Weren't men great sinners, friend? Weren't they sinners just the same as we find described also in other parts of God's holy word? Yes, you find that true, friend. Oh, we find that there was sin not only in the antediluvian age, but also in the days of David, also in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, also in the days of the Apostle Paul, and also in the days of the book of Revelation, which pertains at least, part of them do at least, the latter part of the age, the end of time. Yes, the end of time before the angel that is pictured there. I believe it's the 10th chapter of the book of Revelation, if not mistaken. But we find that John saw the angel put one foot on the sea, one foot on the land, raised his hand toward heaven, and said that time shall be no longer. So, friends, you see sin all down through the ages. Yes, sin is down through all the ages. Although we want to praise, we want to glorify, we want to magnify the wondrous blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Psalms, the 14th chapter, verses 1, 2, and 3, we find these words. That's just bringing out the fact of sin being in all the ages. The Bible says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." Now, what he actually means is, there's no God for me. They are corrupt. This is God speaking to us now. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They're all gone aside. They're all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Friends, you see there's been the sin in all the ages there. Yes, there's been the sin in all the ages there. Now I want to close though. You in just a few more moments. You need a guide in this life, friend. You don't want to try to go through this life within your own strength. You can't survive. No, you can't go through what the antediluvians did. And you can't go through what the sin was in David's day, the sin in Paul's day, the sin in the Lord Jesus Christ's day, without someone to guide you. That is, if you want to live your life, if you want to live your life to please God, to bring honor to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I'm just going to close now with this simple thought. Yes, we need a guide. Who is that guide? Who is that one who will lead God's people? Who is the one today? The Lord Jesus Christ dying there on the cross of Calvary. You remember, He not only spoke the many words that you find described unto us in the New Testament, especially there in the 22nd chapter of the book of Psalms, but friends, you'll find that the Lord Jesus Christ gave promise there of a comforter that was going to abide with His people forever. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "It is finished." That's the work of redemption concerning the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's not the end of the Lord's work, no friend, but it was earthly speaking at that time. But He gave the promise. Yes, He gave the promise. He's also a comforter. He's also in heaven as comforter this morning. But friends, here, the blessed word, just want to read it in your presence this morning. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Now just bring you the truth there in that book of Revelation. There in the 21st chapter, the Lord Jesus Christ is making known there to His people that after this life is over, after we've been guided there into the presence of Almighty God, resurrected bodies like that of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, oh, praise His wondrous, blessed name. But the Lord Jesus makes known unto us that there's not going to be any more sorrow, not going to be any more tears. And friends, God's going to wipe away every tear from every eye, not only guiding us here in this pilgrim journey until the end of our life. And friends, as you go older, you're going to realize it's more serious than what you think. Yes, when you're young, when you're strong, when you're healthy, yes, we need a guide. Oh, as older people, we realize that we need a guide. We realize that we need someone to go with us, and we need someone to be with us in our dying moment here on this earth. We need someone to be with us forever and forever and forever. And God's people are going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, not only guided by Him in this life, the Comforter, but the Holy Spirit then, at the death of Jesus Christ, came there in the great power. He's been in the world, of course, always, but with finding great power there on the day of Pentecost, and God's people were filled with the powers of God from the top of their head to the sole of their feet. And friends, we find He's been with us ever since. Yes, thank God. He's been with us ever since. Oh, praise His wondrous, blessed name.